Hello. Hello, who's on?
It's Kirsty.
Hi, Kirsty. Hey, I just tried to chat with you on WebEx. Did you get
Oh,
my
sorry, what?
emails about your project?
I'm sorry, I've just had a crazy day today, so I haven't responded properly, but thank you.
Okay. All right. So you know what you need to do, and I hope I don't interfere with your holiday too much.
No, not a holiday.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going up. I'll see you in Berlin, right?
You will indeed,
Okay.
yes. Which is next week.
Yep. I leave next Wednesday.
Hey Ed, how are you?
Okay.
It's Michael.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I think you sent me an email, but I couldn't find it. You get in on what day? Thursday?
We leave Wednesday night, so we get in Thursday.
Are you going through London?
Going through Frankfurt.
Okay.
When
All
do you
right,
arrive?
well, late Thursday afternoon. And I'm at the Waldorf Astoria.
Hi Ed, Bill and Dale are here.
Hey, Bill and Dale, I hope you
Here,
have
Michael.
news. Michael's here.
Hi, Michael.
And
Ken
Bill
Jones is
Bart,
here.
Ken Jones.
Yep.
Okay.
Joanne Weinberg.
All right. Hold on. I have to. Joanne's going to be in Berlin. Michael's going to be there. Kirsty's going to be there.
No, I won't be there, Ed.
Oh, you're not going. That's right.
No, I'll be in London.
Yeah, I'll see you in London.
Right. Unfortunately, I won't make it to Berlin.
No, I'm not sure it's unfortunately. Elizabeth on?
Yeah.
All right. Jen, Bill Barnett? Scott?
I'm here.
Jeff Wozniak?
Yes, I'm here.
Sarah?
Yep.
Tina? Tatiana's here?
I'm here. Yep.
Jan, Peter Hammond.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's good because you got to present. Tom and Kathy may not make it. John Hannigan. Sarah Joe.
Yes, indeed.
Dan Savage. Okay. Thanks for the article, Sarah Joe. Not encouraging, but. Is what it is.
I know, it is what it is, exactly.
And Helen, are you here?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, good. And Bill is on, I'm sorry, Bill Barnett?
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else? The people I have missing are Jennifer, Tina Chambers, Johan Eberhardt, Tom and Kathy, John Hannigan, Dan Savage. Ken Warren, anyone else on that I didn't mention? Okay. Well, I guess that's about all we're going to get then. I wish Dan and John were on, but
I'm
we'll...
on. I'm here.
Oh, Dan's there.
Sorry.
And that's all right. John Hannigan? All right, he said he might not be able to make it. All right, so the first thing I'd like to know from NIAAA if there's been any progress on the RFA.
Well, the RFA is not out.
Whoever's doing yard work, could they mute their phone?
They're still being looked at internally outside of NIAAA. And we'll hope to have some news here in the next few weeks.
Okay, so it'll be a few weeks. It has to be on the street for 90 days, I believe.
I think
Is
that's
that,
right. I think that's right.
All right, so we're looking probably toward the mid to end of December, right?
Yeah, probably somewhere end of November, beginning of December.
I don't think the end of November is going to work if it unless it comes out this month.
Right. Unfortunately, it's out of our hands right now. It's being looked at by policy people here at NIH to make sure, you know, all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed kind of thing. So optimistic that it'll be out in a few weeks.
Okay.
So, yeah, December would be a good timetable.
Okay. So just to update people on the renewal of CFAS or our iteration of CFAS, we received 32 one-page proposals. The Science Advisory Board, myself, reviewed those, and we sent letters to 12 people saying that we didn't see how they would move forward in a consortium. So that leaves 20 people who were invited to participate in the next step, which was to develop a 5-page proposal, including a detailed budget if it was over more than $250,000 in direct cost per year, just a modular type budget if it was less than $250,000 a year, and those are going to be due September 22nd. I apologize for the quick turnaround time, but I thought that the whole thing would be due by the end of November, and if we're going to send these out for review and give people 2 months to write them and get them finished and to integrate them with other projects, I wanted the fast turnaround time. So that's where we are on that. Any questions about those proposals or anything?
Ed, are those going to go to outside reviewers, the 5-page?
We hopefully will get them to outside reviewers. We wanted to get the one-pagers to outside reviewers. The problem was I couldn't find enough reviewers who were unconflicted and who could turn them around in the time we needed. August is a popular vacation time. And so it got very difficult. So in order to try to keep our timeline, we decided that the SAB would be the first line and then hopefully be able to send, and I'm not making any guarantees, these out to outside reviewers. It's very difficult to find people who know the FASD field who are not in some way conflicted with CFAS. I don't envy Abe Batista in trying to have to put together a review committee for this. Any other questions? Okay. A few more things that I've mentioned. If I've mentioned this before on this call, just tell me, all right? My memory, I'm old and it's shot. I asked Bill Barnett about trying to recruit mobily on an Internet-based platform, and Helen has done an outstanding job in getting this up and running. It will be part of the Indiana registry that they use, but it'll be separate. I believe, Bill, if I'm saying anything wrong, let me know, all right?
We're doing a, there's opportunity to change the details, but we've got a prototype site that we can use to build off of and design off of.
And so this will be a registry, and hopefully we'll, Helen's done a great job. I have not seen the latest version of this. I don't know. I don't think she'd sent it to me yet. I want to take that version and send it out to Kathy Mitchell, have her look at it, make any last-minute modifications, and then I would hope to go live with that and send that link out to various FASD groups around the nation and the world and see how many people we get who would register electronically for participation in future studies once they're approved and given an IRB.
Ed, this is Helen. I already sent you the final version, so I didn't know you didn't notice, but I can resend it again.
Yeah, dude, the last one I got from you said that you created a ticket on it. And
That was just the ticket. Yeah, before that, I sent you the last version.
All right, thanks. And I'll send that to Kathy today to get her comments, and then that should do it, and then we should at least have something up online and hopefully be able to show reviewers that we can, in fact, recruit a large number of subjects to participate in research moving forward that might be geared toward electronic health or mobile applications. And that's not a large part of CFAS, but it's going to be a part of it, I think, moving forward. I hope it's in the RFA and we're not just wasting our time. So I couldn't even get a little comment.
Can it go beyond just FASC? I don't know how it would work, but I mean, how could we make it wider?
Beyond what?
What do you mean?
Ed said he was going to send it to FASC group. Can it go wider than that, or I don't know?
What do you mean, Elizabeth? Who do you want it to go to?
I don't know. Anyone who would look at it.
I mean, you got to consent someone to do a for a study and a study name. I mean, you can do online consenting for all kinds of things, but I think the question is, what are you trying to enroll them in to do? Right? I mean, you can recruit controls that way potentially. I mean, you can have ways to recruit controls. You can have ways to recruit individuals who are alcohol exposed. You could, you know, recruit individuals that, you know, you just have to have an informed consent. So within the same protocol, you can have different consents.
Okay. I guess I just don't understand it well enough, so I'll try to learn more.
I think we'll start out this way and see if we can, in fact, recruit this or to at least get a registry started and how big it is. And then we can know whether or not we have any chance of being successful in trying to recruit on a more broader scale. We have to think about ways to recruit controls and what projects need access to this resource and which ones don't. So it's still a very fluid project that's just in progress. But Helen did a great job in putting it together in a very short amount of time. And I appreciate that.
Ed, do we need to have IRB approval to put this out?
Well, that's something I think that you and Tatiana need to discuss.
Okay, we will.
All right, because that was a concern initially, and no one will get access to the registry without an IRB. So it's a matter of whether you need an IRB to register this way.
You can't call it an informed consent if you don't have an IRB protocol under which you're collecting this.
Okay.
Ed, are you talking about identifying kids that have a diagnosis or screening a lot of kids that don't already?
Right now it's recruiting people who have a diagnosis of an FASD.
Registry.
I mean, if we can't recruit them, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what goes on. And we don't have. I think we're going to try to develop over the next 5 years ways to mobily screen individuals, but we don't have that now. But that would be a long-term goal. But the technology for us right now may not quite be there. It may be a year or two away. I've talked to, and I know I've said this before, but it might have been the Science Advisory Board, so if I'm repeating myself, just say so, to the Qualcomm UCSD group, and they were very enthused, particularly one guy there who's an engineer, and he was absolutely surprised that this hasn't gone mobile yet, considering what we're doing. So he's on board, at least, to try to develop applications, and I don't think it conflicts with Bill at all, because Bill didn't want to get into the app development part of this, but that hopefully with him and with some of the PIs on projects, we can develop a type of risk assessment or a risk profile based upon perhaps facial imaging from Peter. Like I said, the technology is not there yet, but I would guess within the next few years it will be. But with facial imaging, maybe some behavioral assessments online, some questionnaires, we might be able to give a risk score and a screening. And I think that's one of our long-term goals.
Ed, this is Bill. I think they already do this to some extent with autism, so I think there is a model that we could look at making a lot more progress than we had thought we might be able to. In terms of, yes, it's not something that the informatics core would lead, but I think we would want to participate to make sure that we have the data are all kind of collected and managed in a collaborative fashion. So that would be my only hook into that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it needs to be done, and I think that Tatiana and you should talk about ways that you can interface and integrate various projects. That's all I'll say on that, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Any questions about CFAS-4?
Ed, this is Helen. I wonder, you know, for a while we're using the access input tools in order to gather the information from the subjects. I've been wondering maybe we would like to go into the web application instead and put it on the mobile application, for example, so you can just, instead of inputting it in the information in the access input tools, we would just use the mobile application or enter it in the website.
Right. We just have to develop those mobile applications or those web tools.
Yeah, it can be done very quickly with the same application that we used for through RepCap. And majority of the tools are actually already there because we use them for the external user access.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're interested in that, we can start moving in this direction because, you know, access input tools are changing rapidly, you know, with every version, we need to adjust it a little bit, and I'm not sure how other sites that gather actually data from the, you know, from the sites, how they would respond to that notion, you know, would people be interested in moving into the mobile and web input form?
I think they are. I think the problem is developing the technology to get them mobile or into an internet-based form. Right now, everything like in behavior is basically paper and pencil or some computer-based things.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that actually, you know, the applications already exist and we can use them.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to maybe try it out with any of the sites. So I would just, you know, let me know if any of the sites are interested in going in this direction, and we can try out some kind of, like, use some kind of pilot version to move maybe this morphology or demographics access input tool into the mobile application and see if it satisfies the needs of people, you know, who doing data gathering.
Okay, we have a WebEx today. Peter? I don't see you on as a participant here, but maybe I haven't.
I am, yes. I'm on at the top of the
there,
list.
There you are. Yeah, I gotcha. I had to close my chat screen down. All right, so I'm ready at any time you are.
Can you see my screen?
Hello?
I can.
Yep. Me
there we
too.
Go.
You might want, can you make it larger?
How's that?
That's fine.
That's presentation mode on my machine.
Okay.
Okay, I'm only going to speak for 10 or 15 minutes. And I just wanted to talk about FASTI diagnostic criteria. I mean, partly because of all this talk about screening, and if you're going to be doing screening, you need to give the appropriate label to people of how you might be identifying them as FAS or PFAS or whatever. So that's one aspect of one motivation for doing this. But also, recently I was asked to give an opinion on a paper which is yet unpublished, and I noticed there was a definition in it of ARND, and this is on the screen here. And immediately it struck me as being not the one I was used to seeing, because it mentioned head circumference, which I'd not seen before with respect to ARND. So it got me thinking that maybe I I'm wrong. I should clarify what the definition is in the literature. So this was about a week or two ago, and I came across this very recent paper just published in Pediatrics this month, I think, from a whole pile of people, many from CFAS, which gives updated clinical guidelines and definitions of FASD conditions. But when I came to it, and I'm sorry to be negative, I felt it didn't make things easier for people. I felt it actually makes things harder, and I'll explain why. In the paper, there are two pages, like, as you can see, but I'm not expecting to see the small text. And the page and a half of text defines FAS, PFAS, ARND, and ARBD, and then there's a kind of operationalizing decision tree on the bottom right. And so my reluctant criticism is that it's not concise, it's not clear, and it's not consistent. The text and the tree don't agree. And I'm just worried that, you know, it gives people maybe the wrong impression and makes it more complex. I'm thinking of people who are not in the field, because if this is in pediatrics, it could be used by more general clinicians and specialists interested in FASD. So if you look at that text, and now, again, I'm not expecting to see the detail here. So this is that page and a half written small. And if you focus on the definition of FAS, and expanded, it looks like this. It's what you would expect if you're familiar with FASD. You know, it's describing FAS in terms of four kind of subphenotypes: a face phenotype in blue, a growth phenotype in black, a green phenotype is describing brain, and then a red phenotype describing neurobehavior. So if you look at the back against of the text, what you notice, as you might expect, is those pieces of text are repeated throughout that page and a half of definitions. And I felt this was just too complex. I mean, really, it could be much simplified. And really, each of those pieces of text of a different color should just be replaced by a word. So you get a face phenotype, a growth phenotype, a brain phenotype, and a neurobehavioral phenotype. And each of those pieces of text should just be replaced by the single word. Now, if you do that, this is what you get at the top of the page. You get the definition of FAS as, you know, having to satisfy the face phenotype and neurobehavior and the growth and the brain. And then there are two ways of describing PFAS, as you can see, which both of which include face and neurobehavior, but there are kind of alternatives to whether there's exposure or not, and then ARND and ARVD. And notice immediately that ARND doesn't include anything about head circumference, like that previous paper I mentioned. So the idea being then that you would really just express this. This should be perhaps the top summary, and then underneath the text would appear once, like, for instance, the definition of malformation. Neurobehavior itself has got a sub-definition, but that doesn't matter. There actually is another simplification, and that if you look closely at the definition of PFAS, it says face and neurobehavior in both, but one says either exposure, or if you can't confirm exposure, then you need to confirm the growth or the brain phenotype. Now, actually, that logically speaking is equivalent to exposure or growth or brain. So those two definitions of PFAS can be reduced to one. So now you've just got four lines describing in a very simple way the definition of the diagnostic aspect of FASD. So that's really my first point, is that if the paper was aimed to clarify and establish a standard, then I think it really should have just given a simple top-level definition, and then each of the separate phenotypes could just appear once. It also makes it very easy to change. You know, if any of you have written programs, it's just like writing a computer program. You know, you only ever want to define something once, not multiple times. So that's the business about being concise and simple. But the other thing is the operationalization in this decision tree is not the same. If you look closely at these criteria, they're non-exclusive, because somebody could satisfy all four of them if they had all the phenotype attributes. Now, then maybe that's not what was intended, and in fact, if you look at the decision tree, obviously that wasn't intended, because if you look at the path through the decision tree, for instance, for FAS down here, bottom left, and PFAS, they actually are separate. You can't actually satisfy both. All right? So certainly, somewhere in the definition, the textual definition, it should have established that, you know, according to the according to the decision tree, you can't be both. But that's also true about ARND. Now, I'm just reducing the text to the simple words that I've used in my rules. If you look at the definition of ARND and you see how you go through the decision tree, the assumption is that you've failed the facial phenotype to get to ARND, but that's not expressed in the text. Similarly, if you look at ARBD, the decision tree says you should have failed the facial phenotype and you should have failed the neurobehavioral phenotype. And again, that's not in the textual description. So the question is, if pediatricians are reading that paper, which I think they're more likely to look at the decision tree, actually, and look how to, you know, apply it. But if they look at the text, they're going to get a slightly different representation. And that's really all I want to say. It's probably even less than 10 minutes. But I'm just leaving that for discussion and see what people think.
Well, I see it on this ARBD thing, but I don't think it was anyone's intention that ARBD kind of come off of that. I think the tree is probably wrong. I think you can have an ARBD and have FAS. If you had one kidney. You might have an alcohol-related birth defect on an organ that had really hasn't been described as part of the FAS syndrome. So you're right in that the way this is written, this tree, makes it seem like you have to be missing the face in order to get an ARBD. And I don't think that necessarily.
You know, I think
true.
That was the intent, Ed.
I think so, too.
ARBD is considered, in the absence of all of the others, you have a birth defect with exposure, and there's some reasonable expectation that the birth defect, because of its nature, mm-hmm. was related mm-hmm. to the exposure. But that's that category. And I remember when COFAS was discussing this, I think Ken Jones made the point that this is an extremely small percentage. And in the whole COFAS group, there might be, you know, a couple of these, that it's really quite rare and almost hard to consider, but that under FAS, there's an expectation that there might be both major and minor malformations.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, this is Sarah, for ARND is, and I remember this specifically because I didn't realize it at first, that you don't, to have ARND, you are lacking the facial features.
Correct.
And I remember being surprised at that, but I know it, but I went back and checked, so I'm sure that's the way it was originally written.
So I think these should be considered Venn diagrams in a way, and the ARBD is missing everything except exposure, but defined by a birth defect, and ARND is by definition not fake. So that somebody who has an FAS or PFAS may have the same neurobehavioral elements as somebody with an ARND, but the ARND by definition lacks the FAS. And then
and Hetzer Conference, getting back to something Peter said earlier, Hetzer Conference was part of the original ARND. It wasn't required, but it was one or the other. Either structural brain abnormality or head circumference less than 10th percentile was required.
Why do we separate the face and brain from the rest of the body in terms of birth defects? I mean, they're all birth defects.
You know better than others that it's just a question of timing.
Right.
But that FAS was defined by specific facial abnormality.
Is it just simply because that's the historical definition?
The diagnosis was established first with this,
right.
And all of the criteria leading up to this, and certainly leading up to the first IOM, started with face as part of it, and then there was the recognition that came a lot from Kathy's work, that the face is a happenstance of a particular exposure in a moment in time. But you could still see many of the same cognitive and behavioral abnormalities.
Yeah, it seems like you could lump the ARBDs into FAS, as long as you have any birth defect, any alcohol-related, presumably alcohol-related birth defect.
Well, they are. And you can certainly have an FAS with birth defects, and they're well described. I think the point to the ARBD classification is that because of timing, there may be children who have just birth defects and don't have neurocognitive or behavioral abnormalities, but whose birth defects could still be attributed to alcohol exposure. And as I said earlier, it ends up being a very small bucket. It's a symbol.
Yes.
And I think this is where, frankly, the FASD category, which is the universe of all of the effects,
mm-hmm.
is helpful because it acknowledges that it's just a happenstance of timing, whether you do or don't have the face, and maybe the intensity of the exposure, as well as the time of the exposure, whether you have an FAS or a PFAS or an ARND, but that these are all expected consequences of alcohol exposure across 9 months of gestation.
Can I just add that the paper that I mentioned at the beginning was kind of trying to propose that there was an ARND face, and that concerned me because this definition says ARND assumes that there are no facial characteristics, and I just felt it was becoming confusing.
It is confusing, but in some ways, Peter, you've helped us understand the confusion by showing that a face that doesn't meet diagnostic requirements for FAS or PFAS can still identify people who are alcohol exposed. Paper with Mike. I wouldn't say that that's an ARND face. I think it's just, I would step back and simply say, knowing what we know now, and for some like Kathy, knowing what she knew 30 years ago, that the reliance on the face is historical and a consequence of exposure at 3 weeks of gestation. But that if you expose at 4 weeks and you get a DeGeorge face, it doesn't make it any less FASD. And it doesn't mean that you won't have cognitive and behavioral adverse outcomes. So I think, you know, a lot of the focus of FASD in the first three waves has been on looking for clues to the face that are not diagnostic, but might help identify children who have been heavily exposed as having brain problems or other problems that are a consequence of their exposure.
Okay.
Peter, could you tell us what paper you're talking about?
I can't say what it is, no. It was up for review.
You know, in some ways, Peter, I would say that your 2013 pediatrics paper defined an ARND phase, but we're wise enough not to call it that.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. I have a few more items of business, and then people who are participating in the Vancouver meeting, please get your abstracts in and then send me a copy of your submission. I have a conference call on Friday with them about this, so please get them in and get me a copy. And also in regards to that, anyone in CFAS who wants to present at the Vancouver meeting, you should submit your abstract. I think they are all due by Friday. I'd have to check on that, but I believe it's right around now. And anyone who's participating in the CFAS session in Vancouver who would like to present in another session as well, and I've been calling them a breakout, but there seems to be some confusion about what that is, that simply means that you'll be put into another session, that one that may be aimed at a topic near to what you're talking about. So if you want to give a longer presentation, more details, because ours are going to be limited to about 15 minutes in the CFAS symposium, submit that separately, but make sure they know that it is not part of the CFAS half-day session. Does that make sense? Michael, you got your ISBRA Berlin symposium on Sunday.
We do.
And I'm hoping that everybody's getting their PowerPoints to you, since I know you need them prior to the meeting. Any comments? Do you need to beg people to do that or anything? Or is everyone...
No, I sent something around. We set up a Dropbox, and everybody has acknowledged receiving the Dropbox and having access to it, so I think it should be fine.
Okay. Any comments from NIAAA?
None here.
We're all okay?
I think so. There may be a few things we want to discuss with you on a call later, but we're okay now.
All right, well, I'm leaving Wednesday, and I'll be out of the country until the 16th. All right, it's a long time for me to be. I've never been away this long.
Where are you taking us?
Well, there's the Berlin meeting of ISBRA, and then there's the UFAS meeting 5 days later. So rather than fly all the way back to San Diego and then fly back to London, I'm just staying in Europe. So there's the European FASD meeting and the ISBRA meeting. So, and they just happened to be close enough together that it didn't make sense to fly home. So,
sounds good.
If you'd like to talk, let me know. We can try to do it, you know, before I leave.
Yeah.
Science Advisory Board members, any comments, concerns, issues?
None at the moment.
Sarah Jo?
I never have concerns or issues.
Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other? Michael, you have any science advisor or scientific director comments?
Nothing at this moment.
All right. So we had a good month. We had three papers accepted from CFAS since our last conference call. And so congratulations to those authors, Julie Cable, Tina Chambers. These are two papers that came out of the Ukraine project and one that came out of that infrared spectroscopy. So congratulations, and I hope everyone can keep it up.
Can those manuscripts be made available for us to look at?
Jill, are they up there?
I think two of them were submitted and one of them was accepted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the submitted part. Yeah. Two were accepted. Two were submitted. One was accepted. So the Chambers and Cable are under submission. The cardiac orator response has been accepted. And is that up online on the website? We don't know. Jennifer's not on the line, and she's out of town. So. Why don't you just email Julie and see if she and Tina and see if they'll send them to you, Michael?
Thanks.
All right. With that, I'll let everyone get to writing five pagers. All right. Enjoy, have fun, and remember, we need a detailed budget if you want to go over $250,000 a year. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. I'm in my office. If anyone wants to call and talk about anything, all right.
Good.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Thank you.